Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Thankfully, mercifully, the sun season is over, but it's a huge day and actually a huge, strange, awkward last 36 hours in basketball in our state. And it's going to get even stranger involving Stanley Johnson potentially with the U of A. I'll talk about that on today's show. The Diamondbacks game last night, Hellickson wasn't good early, and then I thought he got better. It came up short. This whole Mariota, Winston, the Wunderlich scores are out. Did you hear about this? Wunderlich scores are out for Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. The Wunderlich, of course, is a 50-question test that they give to the combine participants, and somehow, some way, they were leaked out. It's probably by agents because the scores were good. If the scores were bad, you know the agents wouldn't want it out, and we'd be all screaming bloody murder. Oh my gosh, they're making these kids look bad. They're making these kids look silly. Nationally, the Aaron Hernandez guilty life in prison story is, you know, I talk on this platform often about things like concussions, and we look for our role models not to be guys that are on the field, but rather our parents, or if it's a single parent, if it's no parent, I get it, that's athletes. The Aaron Hernandez story should be talked about to kids. It should be. And it's in this vein. You may think you have it all figured out by going and playing football or going and playing said sport. But here's Aaron Hernandez, who apparently had it all, but apparently behind the scenes had it all screwed up. And, you know, kids can be, some kids are con men. I mean, there's adults that are con men. There are guys that can't seem to get it all figured out. There's people that hit rough patches in life. You know, I said that I saw this morning where a new survey shows that 1 in 6 NFL players file for bankruptcy once they're out of the league within 5 years. That number's actually gone down from what it used to be, but it's still a pretty alarming number. So just because kids think or parents think if they only make it to the pros, they'll get it all figured out. I don't know. Aaron Hernandez is behind bars now forever. And he has turned to his mom and his girlfriend and say it's going to be okay. There's nothing okay about that. So that story is going on nationally. I don't want to go through all that nonsense today. Everybody else is doing that. But, you know, in our state, and that's what I try to focus on here at sports360az.com, we're Arizona-centric, a lot of content up online. I think the story today is as we get closer to the NFL draft, the Wunderlich thing is really fascinating to me. Pedro Gomez, though, Eric, we hired Pedro 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we said, come on the show with us and let's talk baseball. And Pedro's our baseball insider.
He is. That's what his title is. Yeah. When he is put on the show sheet every Wednesday morning.
ESPN's Pedro Gomez, well-known national personality, lives here in the Valley as humble and down-to-earth a guy. The other night, he's out at the U of A ASU game watching his son pitch for the U of A. And they put the camera on him, and I sent him a text, nice legs, because he's out there in shorts. He texts me back. We had this nice little conversation. And at the end of it, he says, hey, thanks for dropping me a note, you know? I mean, he's just a normal guy, but people are like, oh, my gosh, national guy. He's no longer a baseball insider. He's a jet setter. Pedro goes places. When was the last time we had him on at a baseball stadium?
A while ago. And in many ways, as we've talked about, Brad, Pedro has been a jet setter for quite some time because he went from newspaper columnist to big famous TV guy.
Yeah.
Long before the trend was to go from a newspaper columnist to a big famous TV guy.
No, you're right. You're right. But I think we had him on at Wisconsin.
Yep.
Had him on at Letter of Intent Day with Jim Harbaugh.
Correct.
Nothing to do with baseball. I think we had him on maybe out at the A's camp once in February.
And you'd never guess that he's a baseball insider. He's that good. Just throw him at any event and he will cover it flawlessly.
So are we to say then, Eric, that when we have him on in 20 minutes for our weekly baseball segment, and that he was at the Mayweather-Pacquiao deal yesterday, which I can only imagine, having been at boxing things, but it's been a while since I've been at him. It's an absolute circus. One of my favorite all-time broadcast events happened when I had to dive under a table because a guest brandished a gun to Norm Fraunheim and myself, the great Norm Fraunheim, I might add, formerly over at the Arizona Republic. before a Mike Tyson fight, and it was his limousine driver. And Don King, the promoter, had like five guys on us immediately, and they drug the guy out. And one of the guys came back to me, and he's larger than, who's the largest human being I've ever seen on a football field? Leonard Davis. And had maybe 50 pounds, 100 pounds on this guy. And the guy leans down to me and waves his finger and says, "Don't ever bring that man back on your show again. You're a guest of Mr. King. If you do, we'll do the same thing to you." I didn't do it. I'm like, you got me. So Pedro was there yesterday, and I do want to talk to him about the Diamondbacks' start. But also, this fight is going to overtake the country. The marketing machine for this, they had Katie Couric there yesterday doing the sit-down with Mayweather. I'm sure that was really insightful. He's going to end up in a pink shirt on Ellen before it's all said and done. And then he'll go into a ring and try to knock somebody out. You can see it coming a mile away. Michael De La Russo is going to be with us today. We do a lot around soccer. We are believers in the sport that is growing. You do not see people around the world throwing footballs. You see people around the world bouncing basketballs and kicking soccer balls. AZ United SC is off to a 3-0 start. So it's time to have Dello on. Michael De La Russo, I spoke to him the other night for quite a bit of time, and it would be good to talk to Coach De La Russo about the quick start. They're moving to Scottsdale. Their home opener is next week. I hope that you, because there's a lot of soccer people that like our content, that check our content out. And I'm willing to put him on and not just sit here and talk about the backup left tackle that'll be taken in the sixth round of the draft from Wagner. I mean, it's mindless. So soccer's a big deal here in town. We'll have Dello on, and that's in just over an hour. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. And, you know, this time of year, spring has sprung. Why not head up to the Honda Resort and Casino? Hey, honey, let's get away for the weekend. Guys, you'll be so far in, you'll need a roadmap to get out. Come on. You could take her to see some great entertainment, eat some great food, have some fun, pull down on the slots, and during the day, do some hiking, some adventuring, and do it all just outside of Pine Top in the northeastern part of the state. Beautiful time of year to be outdoors and to be at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Check it out. Make sure you're there at the Honda Resort and Casino. Pedro Gomez in about 6-7 minutes. The Mariota Winston Wonderlic test scores. So does this mean anything more to you? Eric, should we have taken the Wonderlic at some time? I know radio guys have done that bit through the years, so it's tired. 20 years ago, we did Wonderlic test score bit on the air. I think we did it 10 years ago. I know when I was at Channel 3, we did Wonderlic test score bit. Old, worn out. But I think that the scores of this are interesting.
I do too. And I remember I talked to Zach Miller, former ASU tight end, played in the NFL. Yep, for quite a while. Yep. And I asked him, I said, so is the Wonderlic difficult? He said, it's not difficult. It's just misleading. That's the way he put it.
How many cans are in a six-pack?
Exactly. You just have to slow down. And when they want to see how fast you can not only process information, but also be thorough in what you're reading. A lot of people just skim through it, and that's when they make mistakes. The Wonderlic test is not difficult.
Spell race car backwards. It's one of those things.
Right.
Spell race car backwards, it's race car.
And I don't want to take it because I'm sure I wouldn't do very well.
How many cans are in a six pack? I don't know. You spot the guy, the C and the T, and say, spell cat, you know? So sometimes a Wonderlic test, when they're really bad, that comes out. There's only been one perfect score on the Wonderlic that I'm aware of, and that was Pat McAnally. I'm dating myself a little bit. That's the punter. He went to Harvard, and he scored a perfect 50 on it. So Roethlisberger scored a 25. I'm going to go in reverse order some of the big names and then tell you what they scored on it. Roethlisberger had a 25. Flacco had a 27. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson each scored 28. Andrew Luck had a 37. Aaron Rodgers. Hey, by the way, when I say Aaron Rodgers, crazy high school dad pushing your son to be a quarterback somewhere, remember, he went to Butte Community College. Remember that. Oh, we could never go to a community college. That's beneath us. Okay, knock yourselves out, dude. Aaron Rodgers had a 35. Mariota scored a 33. Jameis Winston scored a 27. Joe Flacco had a 27. I think Joe Flacco's a pretty darn good quarterback.
Big Ben had a 25.
25 for Big Ben, yeah. Tom Brady had a 33. Phillip Rivers had a 30. So if you're putting those scores out there in regards to working at the board and who you choose at quarterback, because that's all our country, the next few weeks, here's the thing. I will tell you the next 2 weeks are going to be Mariota and Winston until you're sick of it. And you may already be sick of it. And then there, it's going to be Mayweather or Pacquiao until you're sick of it. Those are the two huge events that are coming up nationally the next few weeks. And it's fine. We'll talk about them. We'll have some fun with it. Peter King is with us every week, the best in the business around the NFL. He'll be with us this Friday at 10:20. We'll talk with Peter about the draft. Here's Brock Huard from yesterday's show, ESPN college football analyst Brock Huard, who has broken down the tape on Winston and Mariota. He has seen, called games with both of them, so his opinion has substance. It's not just some dude saying, oh, this guy is this and that. He's actually been in the middle of it all. Here's Brock Huard.
I've done three or four Mariota games and three or four Winston games, just about the same between the two of them. And, yeah, I take Mariota. I do. I think he's a better decision maker. I know he's a better athlete. I know he's a better human being. I know both of them have incredible mental and physical fortitude and toughness. But yeah. And Jameis is a more natural passer. I don't think there's much debate about that. He's got really good mechanics, but he's got a lot of other stuff there as far as treating folks and what you've got to do to be a guy to completely build around. That I feel more comfortable with Marcus.
Really interesting stuff. Here's more Brock Huard about the red flags around Winston.
Here's two I words that I have kind of utilized or have talked about through this process, and that is intentional versus impulsive. Mm-hmm. A little red flag, or just a little my radar. Just when Jimbo has said that to me about Jameis, he's not a bad kid. He's just impulsive. And I kind of wrote that down on my notes, and I've kind of gone back and looked at my boards and kind of just studied through some of these things. And when I look at today's NFL quarterbacks, you know what I see? Intentional in every single way. Brady, Breeze, Manning, Luck, Wilson, go through the list. So you don't find impulsive a real trait or characteristic to build around. And that is so much, I think, of what Jameis' personality as a player, as a person, as a leader. He's just a very impulsive kid.
That's home run analysis. That's so good. That is so good.
When you think about that, is it impulsive that makes you steal crab legs? Sure. Is it impulsive that makes you jump up on a table and act like a fool? Sure. Is it impulsive, whatever happened between he and the girl? Whatever happened?
Jimbo Fisher said he's not a bad person. He's just made bad decisions.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you're talking about being impulsive, and I mentioned this to Brock yesterday, I hope that whomever takes him, if you're in Tampa Bay, you must tell your wife, we are renting. When it's Tennessee and they end up taking Winston, if they were to take Winston, honey, we're renting, because the entire organization should be renting. Nobody can buy their house and feel secure if Jameis Winston is who they draft. He can have all the talent in the world, but his track record has proven otherwise. Even his attorney has said, he acts like an NFL player on the field, off the field, he does not. Man, that's a tough deal. Pedro Gomez on the other side. So he was a Pacquiao Mayweather yesterday. But beyond that, we're going to talk some baseball with him because I know he's been plugged in and what's going on. This whole story around what the Angels are doing, I want to get into that with him and Josh Hamilton, because that's fascinating how a team could just walk away from somebody and all the money and hang them out to dry. And the Diamondbacks as well, that's on the other side. Also in about 10 minutes, what's going on locally with high school kids leaving and Stanley Johnson. Some big news there. I'm Brad Sussman.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Sounds good to have Pedro with us. Yeah, we talk baseball, but my understanding is he was in Vegas. I saw him the other night on the Pac-12 Network broadcast being a fan for his son in Tempe, which I'm sure was amusing to you. Are you going to be the – you remember the late, great Burt Sugar, I'm sure, in the way of boxing?
Of course I remember Burt Sugar.
So he had the hat and he had the big cigar. Are you turning into that guy now that you're covering Mayweather and Pacquiao?
Somehow I doubt I will ever be that. I don't like to wear hats, really, and don't smoke cigars.
Don't smoke cigars.
So 0 for 2 on that one.
So you were there, though, yesterday for their get-together. How was
that? Oh, my God.
How was that?
It's crazy, and I was just talking to somebody about this. It's, you know, Brad, you go to NFL postseason games. You go to Major League Baseball postseason games. It's very structured. It's very, you know, there's structure to all the chaos going on because it's here, this person's going to be here at this hour. This person's going to be here at this hour. This is all boxing. There is nobody behind the event, really, other than when you have the formal press conference. So in this case, it's just Floyd's people, and it's just chaos, and it's mayhem, and it's, well, he's going to be here at 3, and then he showed up at 4:20, and David Hasselhoff walks around, and Little Kim is there, and it's just a free-for-all in terms of craziness. He walks into a tent to do a press conference, and more than half the tent is fans just who showed up and are in there. And, you know, there's cheering and hooting and hollering, and it's supposed to be a media event, and it's just it's crazy. It's boxing.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, there's something very cool about it because it is so just from the heart, so to speak.
Are you are you covering the fight?
I am not. I'm just doing some pre stuff on it. I know.
Man.
I know.
Throw your weight
change,
around
but,
for crying out loud.
I know. I know. I would love to be there. Believe me, it's going to be a great fight. And I, you know, as a boxing fan, I think it's great that boxing is kind of taking back a little bit. I know that MMA has made great strides, but I don't know that it can really measure up to what boxing can offer.
One of my favorite moments in doing things, we're talking with Pedro Gomez. One of my favorite moments of doing this through the years is, you remember Norm Fraunheim?
Yeah, oh, I just saw Norm yesterday. He was in Vegas.
So Norm's there. So I go up to do a Tyson fight, and I think I'm over at KTAR back in the day, and I go up to do the fight, and it was in a time where every big fight, they'd call and say, come up and do your show. And this is even back to San Diego. And Norm and I are sitting there for a Tyson fight, and I get the limousine, Mike Tyson's first limousine driver, and he's pushing a book. And I'm like, this is interesting. And I asked Norm, you want to sit in on it? So we're at the MGM. We're in some ballroom. The guy sits down, and I notice that a gun is sticking out from the side of his – he's got it in a holster as we're sitting down. That's kind of interesting. We start the interview. I notice about 5 of Don King's henchmen pointing at me and the table. As the guy is starting to talk about his dealings with Mike Tyson driving around in limousines – they come over to him, and he starts to reach for the gun. I dive, as does Norm, under the table, and we go to a break. They physically remove the guy, like pick him up screaming. We never see him again. They come back and tell me, don't ever do that again. You are a guest of Mr. King, and we'll do the same to you. Yeah, I know. You can't script this stuff, right?
No, that's boxing.
That's boxing. That's boxing.
Exactly.
There's another time where I'm walking in, and to my right is Michael Jackson and his sister, you know, just like walking in. So, you know, the MMA thing, it's fine. I'm not going to sit here and rip MMA.
No, I'm not either. I just prefer boxing.
Yeah, no. But the time of having a gigantic, gargantuan fight... this will be that. If it were 5 years ago, I think it'd be 10 times more interesting. But
it's still going to be at the top of the list in terms of all-time pay-per-view, all-time probably interest. And I think that kind of is an indication of how fans of boxing have been just starving for an event like this to help put boxing back up there. And this very well could propel boxing, hopefully, back into the spotlight. Because I know it's a barbaric sport, but boy, is it? It's just there is nothing. And I've covered every single sport, Brad. There is nothing like that 2 minutes, that 30 seconds right before the bell rings to start a fight. The anticipation,
the energy.
There's nothing like it in pro sports, in anything. Unlike that 30 seconds right before the bell rings.
Talking with Pedro Gomez. Okay, so let's move over to something that I think had a lot of anticipation here in the Valley in baseball.
I think we're going to talk Archie Bradley.
I think you're right. Saturday night, Eric was there, I was there, Jared was there. He has something that we haven't seen, and I know it's one start, and I know teams are going to adjust. But look, I'm counting down to tomorrow night, and I've already done the 5 days later. It's against Texas next week at home. I haven't done that since Randy and Kurt.
Yeah, no, there's something to having the it factor. And, you know, we've been hearing about Archie Bradley for a reason. We talked about him last year. Should they bring him up? Should they not? And, you know, last year was such a wasted year. Why bring him up in a year like that? You know, with what really turned out to be the worst team in Major League Baseball because they had 98 losses and nobody had more. So if you stick him in a situation like that, it's already at the end of the season. The team is circling the drain. So, you know, little good can come of it. So kudos to the D-backs for holding off. And at that point, it was Kevin Towers who was still in charge and saying, no. There's no reason to bring him up right now. Whereas you bring him up now in April, nothing is gained, nothing is lost because the team is still in contention. It's the first week of the season. And only something positive can happen, really. I mean, obviously, he could get shelled and knocked around and all of a sudden he's back at AAA. But the chances of that last year were much greater than this year. And you know, he does have that it factor. He does have, it's kind of like when Brandon Webb was coming through the pipeline and we all heard about, hey, this kid Webb, he's got this great sinker. He's, you know, he's unhittable. And all of a sudden he gets up and he was unhittable at the major league level. So Archie Bradley has that it factor. And there's absolutely something to be said for that anticipation and that anxiousness that he brings to the organization, that in a positive energy way, and he certainly displayed it. And like you said, it's one game, but it did come against the Dodgers.
I liked his pace. You know, his pace is, I'm just going to get the ball and throw it. And I wonder, I was at an event with him, it's like 3 weeks ago, and Bronson Arroyo was there with him. The two were speaking to some affiliates here at Skyview. And I saw Bronson just kind of lean into Archie and kind of direct him on some answers. I have to believe having a guy like Arroyo around, and I don't know if Randy being around has meant anything or not in spring training. I don't know. But I got to believe that the position that he's in, having Stu here, who had such a great career, having La Russa here, is a much more tolerable situation than, as you pointed out, bringing him up last year. There really was nobody around for him, I wouldn't think.
No, and you're right. Having veteran mentors always is a plus for any young player. I don't care who it is. And there's something to be gained from that. And you've got someone like Archie who is not, you know, say what you want about the talents of Trevor Bauer, but Trevor didn't want to listen to anybody.
He's been great, though, this year for Cleveland.
He has, but he didn't want to listen to anybody when
true.
He came up.
That's true, and his teammates hated him. His teammates wanted to string him up.
Exactly, because they tried to offer advice. They tried to invite him out to dinner, and it was always, no, I got it. And he made himself, you know, very reclusive and almost an island. I don't get that sense from Archie. Archie is somebody who is willing to listen. And that goes a long way with veterans, a long way. And we know from Trevor Bauer's stint here in Arizona, it did not go well because he just was so unwilling to want to listen to anybody. And it's kind of like a kid, you know, you're a parent trying to tell your kid something. The kid eventually goes, wow, you really did know what you were talking about back then. Well, yeah, because, you know, we have experience, life experience. And it's the same with veterans. They have veteran life experience in the game. Why wouldn't you want to listen to what they have to say? And Archie Bradley, by everything I've heard during spring training, was always willing to learn, willing to listen.
Right.
And that goes a long way. And it's not to say you're going to be successful just because of that, but it certainly is not going to hurt.
No. I have to, and I've got a couple other things in this segment, and time is short, so I want to run through this and give me yes or no, a little bit of an explanation. As we sit here a week into the season, do you believe that Jeremy Hellickson will be in the Diamondbacks rotation barring injury for the season?
Yes.
Cole Mentor.
He'll be in on the staff. I don't know about the rotation.
Chase Anderson.
Probably I got to believe another minor league stint is in his future.
Okay. So there's three of their starters right there.
Yeah.
And when people said, yeah, their starting pitching's horrible, we knew that going in. And Hellickson actually was better as the night went on last night. He wasn't good early. Tony and Dave are not going to sit around here and watch this all season
God,
long.
Oh, God, no. I know that about La Russa.
Right. So for people that are saying, oh, they're going to burn out their bullpen and their pitching stinks, those people don't have vision on this. They may not. They just don't know. Yeah, the bullpen through a week's been taxed. No kidding. Tell me something we don't know. But
yeah.
But I think that my point is there's change coming there on that front. You sense it as well.
Yeah. Look, La Russa, Stu is a La Russa disciple. Dave Duncan still has a hand in these decisions. This is not. I've known Tony La Russa for 25 years. He is not somebody who sticks with somebody just because there are fewer options. If there's an option, he's going to look into that option, no matter what that option may be. There are other young arms in the system. And listen, it's a performance-based game. You either perform or you don't. And if you don't, don't stick around in a Tony La Russa team. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. Tony La Russa does not put up with people that cannot go out and do their job, or at least give the best effort and give effort that's going to give you a chance to win. This was told to me a long time ago. It's one of the best things I've ever heard about big league ball. This is not a try hard league. It's a do league.
Yeah.
It is. It's a do league. It's not a try hard league.
Okay. Before I let you go, Josh Hamilton, one of the biggest messes that I've seen in professional sports, not just in baseball, that you're going to try to divorce yourself from him, or is it that you should divorce yourself? Is Artie Moreno in the right? Are they going to hang him out? Tony Clark and the players? I mean, this is a story right up your alley, I would think, on what's going to happen with Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, this is one where the Angels probably, they may kick around the idea of trying to not pay him or to try to void the contract. But the reality is that the Major League Baseball Players Association didn't become the strongest union on the planet by accident. These contracts are well written. It doesn't matter what the Angels may have added. There's a uniform players contract, and it's the same thing. A few years ago, don't forget, the Angels tried, or at least looked into the idea of trying to void Gary Matthews' contract, Matthews Jr.
That's right.
After he signed the 5-year, $50 million deal, and then it was discovered that, he had purchased PEDs, and he was a PED user when he was a Texas Ranger. At least that was the strong alleging. And the Angels kicked around the idea, and Major League Baseball said, you can try all you want. You're going to have to pay this guy. And they ended up paying him the whole $50 million for 5 years, even though after 2 years, he was no longer an Angel.
Is this shame on Artie Moreno?
Well, I
like Artie.
Shame.
I like Artie.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. But, when you make a deal with someone like Josh Hamilton, there are certain dangers that come with it.
He's a druggie.
He admits it. He is a drug addict.
Yep.
He's a recovering one at times, but if you're a recovering drug addict, that means you're a drug addict. It's like being a recovering alcoholic. You still are an alcoholic. You're one drink away from going right back. And, Josh Hamilton, I've talked to him. I've interviewed him. I've had conversations with him. I truly enjoy the guy, but he does have demons. So if you're going to sign someone like Josh Hamilton, you've got to understand that there are some risks involved. And Artie Moreno is the one who okayed this deal. He's the one that went to Josh Hamilton's house in Texas and said, here's 5 years, $125. You either sign it right now or the deal's done, or we're taking it off the table. You can't call around to shop it around. This is the deal. And so, he wanted him that badly. Well, there's risks involved with signing someone like Josh Hamilton.
Appreciate your time. I love seeing you being a dad at your kids' games, no matter what no matter what insults were being hurled at you the other night at Arizona State. That was cool stuff. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
It's Pedro Gomez with us on the other side. So one of the top high school kids in the state leaves for prep school. Okay. Two of them left in the last 24 hours. And Stanley Johnson still hasn't made a decision about leaving the U of A. It's been a weird 36 hours, not a good 36 hours, in my opinion, for basketball, because the pro team stinks, okay? The pro team just blows. But on the college front, with Bobby Hurley last week, I was feeling pretty good. Today I'm a little shook up. I'll explain next. Jared Cohen is down at the Suns. They're cleaning out their lockers. Eric, do you think we should put him on? I mean, what possibly are we going to hear that's interesting? There's nothing interesting.
No, it could be interesting because a player is going to say something that they're going to regret. It's the Suns. We've seen it all year long. Whether it's players talking through agents, whether it's players getting in trouble, whether it's players ripping Hornacek, somebody will say something today.
Really? You're convinced of that?
I think so. Because Jared and I had this conversation before he came in. He's like, well, do you think I should get down there for the players? I said, absolutely.
Because McDonough's talking this afternoon in Hornacek, and Jared and I talked like at, I don't know, 8 o'clock this morning. I'm thinking nobody's going to say anything interesting. I do see your point, though. If they're a knucklehead, I mean, if Gerald Green decides to say something about his lack of defense, because his agent already spoke. But, I mean, Markieff Morris is going to say, we underachieved, we should have tried harder, and no joke. I wish that Markieff and Marcus said, it's been nice being here in Phoenix. We put our houses up for sale. We're not coming back because they've told us they're going to move us. That's what I want to hear.
I understand this is a pipe dream, and we're all allowed to dream, right?
Sure, go for it. Knock yourself out.
But can you imagine the buzz it would create if Sarver picked up the phone, called down to Jerry Colangelo's office, and said, you know what? We need you. Just in some
you
capacity.
You are pipe dreaming. You are dreaming.
But
egos are too big. Won't happen.
I guess. I know. I know. I know dream is free, but think of what kind of impact Jerry would have, because right now the ship was headed in the right direction, and suddenly a year later they're back in the middle of the ocean.
I would make the argument last year, I said on the air, there's no guarantee that this thing is straightened out.
You did say that,
give me a track record. All I've seen is the same old nonsense. So while I'm really, so we're going to use Jared, I guess, in like 10 minutes or so.
Why do you keep asking me? I don't know.
Because you're the one trying to set this
up. Sure. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Figure it out.
You just asked me 30 seconds ago, and I don't have an answer.
I want to make
so.
Sure that I don't screw this thing up. So if we have him, it's fine. If we don't, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I mean, I got plenty here. I feel much better, or at least I felt much better about the direction of the colleges in our state. Think about this on a college, and I'm going to equate it to what happened here in high school in the last 36 hours, which hasn't been good. So we had the U of A that made it all the way to the Elite Eight, and that's terrific for college basketball. We had Jack Murphy and Northern Arizona University take their program all the way to the CIT final. Some of you will laugh at that. Others of you that really know basketball know that's a terrific accomplishment, the most wins in the history of NAU basketball, and they won postseason games. Dan Marley, in my opinion, has it headed in the right direction without any question, without any reservation of what he's doing over at Grand Canyon University. Okay, they're playing big-time schools. And those of you that know me well and that have heard this show through the years, even when I was the color analyst for ASU basketball back in the day, actually, it was the sticking point of me taking the job and leaving the station I was at in Southern California, was I wanted to be the color analyst. I played during the day. I love college basketball. I'm a hoopaholic. Okay, I can talk all sports. Talking about football is easy, low-hanging fruit. Any other sport, as long as I'm passionate about. There's nothing I don't like talking about here. But there is something about the basketball end of things. I want to see the state do well. Bobby Hurley gets hired. All of a sudden, Arizona State, in my opinion, in one fell swoop, and with Ray here now, all the excuse-making and all of the nonsense that has gone on through the years, and it's not all been Herb's fault, okay? Lisa Love did more to damage the basketball program than anybody. And all the administrators that came and went. Basketball was just something sort of to do. It feels to me now like they're really dedicated to making basketball important, especially with this hire. So having Bobby Hurley here, he's the all-time assist leader. Okay? This is not a joke. He's going to win. They're going to schedule bigger and better than what they've done. I believe he's going to give Sean a run for his money. But I also believe Dan could do that, and I believe Jack can do that. Although I think of the four, Jack will be the one here the least amount of time. He is terrific at NAU and will be on a national scale. So I feel good about the college front. I don't know why Stanley Johnson hasn't turned pro yet. The amount of players that have announced that they're leaving, not just at the U of A, But nationally, you know, Calipari, he could have had a bus pull up. Half the team, three quarters of the team walked out to turn pro. But here's where I'm a little bit concerned. You have a coach on the high school level. The last 2 days, one of our top read stories and stories that people have responded to has been Sammy Duane Jr. leaving at Corona del Sol High School. And usually that's not the case for what we do. And I don't pull back the curtain very often, but that story is huge for anybody who's been here longer than a nanosecond. Anybody who's only been here 5-10 years and doesn't get the Duane name, doesn't get basketball. And so he leaves, and that was on Monday afternoon. The Corona del Sol program is like so much further ahead than any other program in the state. I mean, Karen Self and their women's program at Seton is up there. There's some very good programs. But from a consistency model standpoint, Corona del Sol has a national brand. It's kind of like the Hamilton football brand from a few years ago. And Steve's tried to keep that going at Hamilton. They're still very good, but Chandler has improved. There's some other programs that have improved. But Corona's way up there. Then last night, Marcus Howard, who in my opinion is a very good basketball player, he's only a sophomore at Perry High School, announces he's leaving Arizona to go to Finlay Prep. Okay, it's fine. You're going to a prep school. He leaves. That's a blow to Arizona high school basketball. I like seeing kids stay at home. The prep school model is out there. But then I get word later that Marcus Shavers over at St. Mary's leaves as well. Another really good guard. These are two guards that are getting national interest. They're not, in my humble opinion, on the same level as Alex Barcelo over at Corona del Sol, but I'm one that went on a limb, and it was a very thick limb. It was actually like a tree trunk, where I said he's going to be the best point guard outside of Mike Bibby to ever roll through Arizona before it's all said and done. And so far, I think I'm pretty much dead on right on that. He's not even scratched the surface. But I don't like to see kids leaving. Finlay Prep is an established, very established program. That's fine. If that's where kids want to go, that's one option now. The place where Mark Shavers is going in Dallas, I mean, I don't know. I've heard it's a little sketch, but that's his decision. He wants to go. It's fine. Actually, it's not fine with me. I don't like to see kids leaving. I had somebody this morning, though, whose opinion I really respect. He said, hey, look, it's no different than the cellist who is going to leave and go overseas in high school to go make big money. It's no different than, and somebody else brought this up to me, there's a BMX racer that's here in town who's a high school quarterback. He's the top BMX kid in the country. We're doing a piece on him. You'll see it on the site. And he's going to play college football somewhere. Terrific story, but he's been on the circuit doing his thing. I don't know how much money he makes. But the point is if kids want to go chase their passion and go do it elsewhere, it's fine. But I do think the last 36 hours has not been good for Arizona high school basketball. I don't. On the college front, it's been great. Eric, were you disappointed in Howard and Shavers leaving? Because you've seen, I don't know if you've seen Shavers.
I have. I did a feature on him. Yeah. Very, very good player. Two of the best players in the state will be playing here. But there's always some other, there will be other players.
I know they're kids, but I'd like to see those kids start to finish here. Nick Johnson went to Finlay Prep. It worked out fine for him. Doesn't mean that's the end all of end all.
They just want more exposure. It's all about a me world. But I understand why both of those players would want to leave because they are by far the best players on their team.
On their team. I don't think they're the best players at their position.
But if you want to play better competition, you're going to play better competition at Finlay Prep, and you're going to play better competition at this school in Texas.
Maybe.
I think so.
On that one.
I think Texas has better high school basketball than Arizona.
Well, we'll see. All right. Stanley Johnson, I don't have any answer on that one. Other than I've heard that the draft, with all these underclassmen coming out, if he's not a top 10 kid, he may return. But it's just weird that he's sat around on this deal. And, you know, it was not a surprise the guys that announced down there that they're leaving and getting out of Tucson. I would get out of Tucson too. So On the other side, there was something done in sports yesterday that I don't think anybody on the planet could do, has done, could ever do again. I'll explain that next. I'm Brad Sussmann. I don't know about you guys. I'm trying to think back to the most talented thing that I could do in sports. You know, when we'd go out and we'd hit free throws back in the day and you make like 10 in a row or 20 in a row, or you could throw a football 50, 60, 70 yards, you got older and older and older. Steph Curry yesterday in practice, okay, granted it's practice. Steph Curry, in my opinion, is going to be the MVP of the NBA this year. Steph Curry walked out on the court at the Warriors practice facility and hit 77 straight threes in a row. 77 straight. Now, I can't even begin to think what could be possible in baseball that you could do. Is it in batting practice, hitting 20 straight balls off a scoreboard at Chase Field? In football, what could it be in practice? Could it be a, I don't know, an 80-yard field goal that you're trying? This is in practice. I understand there's nobody in your face. But shooting a basketball 77 straight times and having it go splash 77 straight times, I can't think of anything else. That's when I saw that last night, it was, okay, I've got to talk about this on the show because I think all of us, right? Can't you think back to something that you did? It was, wow, I was pretty talented. I could pull this off. And I don't know if the Warriors are going to win an NBA title because just because Steph Curry could sink 77 straight threes in practice doesn't mean he's going to be able to hit 77 straight threes when Kawhi Leonard is up in his grill when the eventual meeting happens between the Spurs and the Warriors, which I think is where it's going to end up being when it's all said and done. You can have Klay Thompson out on the perimeter with you. I am still not convinced, and today's the last day of the regular season in the NBA. Playoffs get started this weekend. I actually think watching Western Conference playoff basketball is going to be quite a bit of fun. I don't know if anything in the East really interests me. I don't get all that excited outside with LeBron doing his thing in Cleveland and if Kevin Love and he are able to make friends and get through it. If Isaiah Thomas is going to do anything for Boston in the postseason, that'd be kind of fun to see since he was a former Sun. Oh, by the way, there were a lot of former Suns this year. But think about that, 77 straight threes. That is at lunchtime, guys. Go out on your basketball court at your place or go do pop a shot and try and do 77 in a row of anything. Or do it tonight with your club team or whatever. So Jared Cohen does join us live now down at the arena where the Suns have cleaned out their lockers. In my opinion, they cleaned them out in January, but you're down there today. Has there been anything interesting said by the players leaving?
There's only two players that have come out at this point. Marcus Thornton was the first. Second was Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight was talking about how, you know, it's a shame that when he got here, injuries after he had just figured out, you know, his role and what he needs to do to be successful, that ankle injury happens against Golden State. It kind of set him back. He was never really the same. So kind of the small sample size and not really ever to get anything going with the team this year was a disappointment. But he said he likes it here. He's optimistic about the future. He has the plans of being back. It's very different from when we were dealing with the same thing from a restricted free agency standpoint last year with Eric Bledsoe, where yeah. Bledsoe was deferring and not making any comments about anything as it pertains to his restricted free agency. Brandon Knight talked about how he'd love to be back. He hopes it all works out. He's optimistic about the future. He likes the guys in the locker room, and he hopes it all works out in his favor. So, but the only positives that he could draw on were with the things that he was able to do with Milwaukee through the first 50, 60 games. That's because fair. That was really the sample size that we saw out of him this season. Yeah. And with the Suns, not really the case.
Wouldn't it be more fun if a player walked out and he said, I really didn't like this season. I hated my teammates. My coach stinks. I know that's not going to happen. But
well, that's why I liked it when Marcin Gortat was on the team.
He would
two
say
years
that.
In a row, he would do that.
He would say that. Because
that was fun.
Because you know that there are those players that believe that today. In cleaning
sure.
out a locker clean-out days when it's not playoffs, I've been in that deal before. They walk out with the trash bags, And some guys will say, you know, the obligatory stuff. Some guys try to sneak out the back way, and the Suns have to corral them and shoot them out through the mass of cameras that's down there.
Brandon, it's different this year, actually. They made it so there's kind of like a line of things that they need to go through before they have to exit the building. So they're not making it as, you know, casual and as, you know, if you catch them, great. If not, oh, well, type of thing. It's a little bit different this time. That was one thing that caught my eye here right when I got here. It's like, oh, well, now they have to talk to us.
Yeah, so. Brandon Knight's story is one, in all seriousness, that is interesting because they gave up an awfully big chip to get him. And he didn't do anything when he was here, but that wasn't on the court. He was injured. So I'll give him that. But it's still one of those pieces. He's restricted. And just because you say on April 15th, I want to be back here, doesn't mean that your agent feels the same way. It's nice to say that. What's he going to say unless you pull a Bledsoe, like you pointed out? So
it's true. And I personally really like the guy. When all those trades happened, it was a little head-scratching and everyone was trying to come up for air to try to take in what had gone down at the trade deadline. But the one thing I did take away that I remember was I just really like his game and who he is as a person and how he carries himself. So I think it would be a huge blow if the Suns aren't able to bring him back. Whether or not him and Bledsoe are the answer or how it's going to work in the future, he's a really impressive guy, and he can only make a team better. So, you know, I don't know how much they're willing to pay him or what kind of offers he's going to get out there with qualifying offers. But he is an impressive guy, and whether or not he's going to be a face of the franchise or not, he can't be a bad person to have in the locker room based on who he is and how he carries himself.
No. We're talking with Jared Cohen. He's down at the Suns. Their season is over today. They clean out their lockers. He'll put up some content later today, some video, some audio of his reactions and responses from the players and all that stuff. We do not have in the Sports 360 AZ employee handbook anything written about hazard pay. So you're down in a hazard zone today. You're dealing with a story that 95% of the audience, I don't think, cares about today, even though they should. Mm-hmm. They should. Yeah, I mean, you understand where I'm coming with this. So knock yourself out down there because the team knocked itself out in January. When you're there this afternoon, you've got Hornacek, you've got McDonough, you've got Babby. You don't know. Is Robert going to speak? Do you know that? Or have they already ruled him out?
Don't know that. Yeah. I haven't heard.
I would hope he would. I would hope that at some point Robert sits there and takes the tough questions. Like, this crap is unacceptable. It's five straight years of not making the postseason. We're sick of it.
This was a franchise, you know, up until those 5 years started, that amongst all the teams in the NBA had around the least amount. They were top three or five, I think it was, in least amount of seasons missing the playoffs since they became an expansion team. And the fact that they've done it five in a row is just, it's unacceptable for any era of the Suns, let alone the one we're in currently.
Yeah. I'll let you go off that. There's Jared Cohen. He's down at the arena doing his thing today. He gets paid to cover a team that blows today and to try to explain to you why they blow and if players will talk about why they blow. On the other side, fortunately, I am big on Michael Della Russo. So a lot of you don't know just how much progress has been made behind the scenes on the state of professional soccer here in town and across the state. We'll have Dello on the show, the head coach of AZ United SC. They have their home opener a week from Saturday at Scottsdale Stadium. They're moving to Scottsdale Stadium against the Portland Timbers. I want to talk to him about his quick start and get you caught up some of the other things on my mind in the world of sports as we continue on a Wednesday. Plenty of content up on our site, sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric. We sprinkle in some national stuff as well. Friday, Peter King is with us for our weekly segment, The Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King, part of what we do leading up to the NFL draft, and much, much more. Stay with us. Off we go in hour number two. A lot going on in the valley across the state. Sports360AZ, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Susmat with you. Let's turn our attention for a few minutes and walk United, talk United with AZ United SC head coach Michael Della Russo. Off to a quick start. Year number two is underway. They are 3-0. They play on the road again this week. They started out with four straight road games. More importantly, a week from Saturday, I would hope, I would anticipate, I would encourage soccer community. There's a lot of you that like to check out their content that we have here on the show. to head over to Scottsdale Stadium. They're going to be at Scottsdale Stadium this year, and they play April 25th against the Portland Timbers at 7:30. Michael, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You're off to a darn good start. Tell me about 3-0. Talk to the fans about that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it's a good collection of guys that we've brought in. Returning guys and some new guys that have gelled together pretty well. Going on the road and getting 9 points in the first three games. As a coach, I really can't ask for much more.
What do you like most about this team so far?
I think their maturity and their closeness. It's a family-like atmosphere around here. They really honestly care for each other off the field, and you know, when they do that, it shows on the field.
It's interesting to me how in a year's time the roster can change over so much. One of the players that I've been asked about is Rob Valentino, a local player that you brought up at the end of last season. He's played very well for you right out of the gate from Pinnacle High School. Talk about how he's performed for you to this point.
Yeah, Rob's he's a special person on and off the field. He's obviously a talented soccer player. He's been that way for years. He also brings a type of leadership and what I talked about earlier, maturity, that a lot of guys at this level lack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously had a great career at Orlando, was their captain for 4 years, and he proved why when he came in here. And the biggest thing I like about him is when he came in here, everybody thought it was an obvious choice to make him captain. You see his resume, you see what he's done, you see this, you see that. But what I did is, and what I told him is, you know, we're going to see who the best captain for our team is after a few weeks. And he wanted to earn that. And he did. And he has. And he's been great for our organization so far.
He's really solidified your back line, right?
Oh, he has, for sure. You know, I think there's a little bit of room of improvement, even from him individually. Mm-hmm. But he is definitely a good rock in that piece for us.
What does it do to have a local player make an impact? How does it help you on the field, off the field?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like he said when he first signed here, he never had people to look up to. He didn't have professional soccer players in this area and guys that were part of an organization mm-hmm. where they could go out, see the game at the highest level. And, you know, now it means a lot to him to be that guy for the young talent out there in Arizona and the tens of thousands of kids that play in Arizona. Now they have, you know, direct guys that, you know, are very accessible and guys that they can look up to.
A building block, you know, when you look around and where you've been from year one to year two, I really believe that that helps you, just that story alone that you can point to. Long Tan came in towards the middle of last season, and it seems to me early on, again, I've watched a little, I've read quite a bit, that he has played very well for you so far.
Yeah, he's done well. He's a special player. He was one guy that we really wanted to trigger and pinpoint about bringing in from last year. We thought we were only going to have him for a couple months last year, and he was going to go back to China and sign over there. But lucky enough, he loved his time here. He really bought into the system and how we like to play, and he's ideal for our system, and he's done quite well. He's a player that wants to get better every day, which is encouraging from the coach's standpoint, but he's an exciting player that fans should really want to come see play.
Michael De La Rosa with us. They have three games that they've played. They have 9 points. That means they're 3-0. They're playing terrific. They're on the road this week, OC Blues FC this Saturday, and then home for the Portland Timbers 2 on April 25th. That'll be at 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. One other question about your roster, and it's pretty open-ended. Your keeper, you made a change through roster. How has that worked out for you so far? On the surface, it looks like it's worked out great.
Yeah, Carl's been great. Obviously, big shoes to fill. Evan was a very good player for us last year. Wanted to try some things overseas and with MLS, so we had to let him go. Carl's come in, and he's been one of the best keepers in the league so far, and he's another one that he just wants to get better. He's an extremely hard worker, great off the field, great guy in the locker room, and I think his ceiling is extremely high. And, you know, I think he's just scratching the surface right now. But, you know, he's proven that he's a top talent in this league, and, you know, we're very happy to have him.
What concerns you through three games?
I don't know if you have a long enough show for that.
Spoken like a true coach. Spoken like a true coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you guys know me. We're far from the finished product.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
But 3-0 is 3-0, Michael. I mean, there's some momentum here.
That's what I say, too. I can't ask from a result standpoint. You can't ask for anything else. You know, if you were to tell me that we were 3-0 after three road games to start the season, I'd be extremely happy, and I'd be pretty surprised at the beginning of the year. It's extremely hard to win, especially in this league on the road. And to get three, the maximum amount of points in each game, I've been very happy. But like I said, we're far from the finished product, so that's another encouraging step for us. I think we can get a lot better. I think we can play a lot better soccer, and I think we can, be a lot more dangerous than we have been. So it's all been encouraging so far.
What do you make out of Scottsdale Stadium so far? And you haven't played a match there yet, but just moving to Scottsdale Stadium, home opener is a week from Saturday. What do you make out of it?
Yeah, we're excited. I think we're now in the middle of the valley and touched the east side. We're not too far from the west side. We didn't completely desert that side of the valley. I think now we're centralized to try to reach everybody. And, I think it's shown already. We've had to open up more seats for our first game already. And I think it's a great location. It's a great area. It's probably the best stadium for spring training around. And, it's ideal, for any fan that wants to come out and check out. And even if you're not a soccer fan, I think it's an ideal location for you to come out and, have fun entertainment on a Saturday night. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, you could party pretty hard and then stumble over no, I'm not putting it in those terms, but you can have a good time.
I'll let you say that.
You can have a good time, but the stadium itself, the way that it's shaped, the way that it looks, this is no slight towards Peoria, but the centralization is big. But add to that the facilities at Scottsdale Stadium, the Giants, it's really first class, first cabin.
Yeah, it's, I think our guys are going to get a little spoiled now, honestly. It's nice coming into a place where the world champions play. And we've seen why. It's everybody, a part of Scottsdale Stadium has been great. Their facilities are amazing. And from a soccer standpoint, it's the biggest field, spring training field in the area. So we can get the biggest soccer field possible, which from a coaching standpoint is great. But also the fans are going to love it. There's great, the seating's amazing. Everything about it's amazing. So the whole game experience will be a lot of fun for people.
That's cool. I'll let you go off that. I'll see you next week. Best of luck this coming week on the road at OC. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Brad. Take care.
You got it. Michael De La Russa there for a couple of minutes. And again, April 25th against Portland Timbers 2, ArizonaUnited.com, ArizonaUnited.com. You can get your tickets. And that comes up Portland Timbers FC 2 at 7:30. That's on the 25th. Good stuff there.